Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. You say, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but I know that's not where the Bible, the Christmas story is, and you're right. Luke 12 is an unusual choice, perhaps. But what Jesus deals with in these verses will help you determine not only how good a Christmas you'll have, but also how good the rest of your life you will have. Jesus is in the midst of teaching thousands when a man comes up and asks Jesus to intervene in his situation. And so Jesus deals with the man's question by teaching about a view of money and possessions. And that is a critical issue for every one of us to consider before Christmas. Let's read Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' And he said to his disciples, 'For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Have you ever heard a word and not be sure of its meaning? Or have you used a term you were sure of only to have someone in your hearing react in such a way you were pretty sure they didn't understand the word? A famous or infamous occurrence of such a misunderstanding was in regards to the use of the term niggardly. Hearing the term, it certainly sounds dubious in our racially sensitive, politically correct world. But the definition of the term has nothing at all to do with race, but it means cheap, tight, miserly. There are words, there are terms that get used, but maybe you don't know the exact meaning of what they mean. The terms to be defined this morning are the ism terms. I'm going to define materialism, secularism, and narcissism. These terms need to be defined because who you are is much more important than what you possess. So let us define the terms. The first term to be defined is materialism. How do you deal with the surplus of wealth? Materialism is the pursuit of worldly things. Things. According to Webster, it is a preoccupation with or a stress upon material rather than intellectual or spiritual things. Jesus is recognized as a teacher. And so Jesus is asked to comment on a case because all of life was under the law of God. This man that came up to him seemed concerned about getting his fair share of the inheritance. And so Jesus addresses this first term directly. Be on your guard against greed. Be on your guard against a lust for wealth. Be on your guard against your desire for things, because things will never satisfy us. Life does not consist of things. Possessions do not equal life. The rich man had a conversation, so Jesus tells this story. The rich man had a conversation with himself about the excess because he was isolated from the world. Take note of how many times, look back at the scripture and take note of how many times he says, I or my. He even thought his soul, his life, was his totally to control and dictate. He needs to have a February 18th. He needs to have that time when they're wheeling him out to a helicopter and he's thinking to himself, I may die today. Today may be the day. He needed to have that. He thought his soul, his life, was totally his to control and dictate. He had failed to guard his heart from greed or covetousness. And so the neighbors may have thought him intelligent. The neighbors may have thought him successful. But was he really? He had failed to take into consideration the possibilities of the future, that his life, the rich man's life, would be over that night. So don't store up for yourself worldly treasure and not be rich toward God. Howard Hendricks, who taught at Dallas Seminary, was one time with his wife Jean dining with a rich man from a very elite Boston family. And Hendricks asked him, how in the world did you grow up in the midst of such wealth and not be consumed by materialism? And the man answered, my parents taught us that everything in our name was either an idol or a tool. So how do you view your possessions? Do you have tools or do you have idols? If you have a tool, then you use it to help someone. And you're looking outward. But if you look at it as, if you view it as an idol, you worship it and the view is inward. It's all about us. It's all about me. Who you are is more important than what you have. The kind of car, the kind of house, the kind of phone that you have. You know, that's just really crazy, isn't it? That we kind of measure each other by what kind of phone we carry? But we do, don't we? We measure people's worth by what we see that they have. And that is the most inaccurate measure of what a person is. So which way are you looking? Are you looking inward or are you looking outward? When is enough enough? Do you really need two of everything? Or is it that you need three of everything? Who you are is more important than what you have. So be honest with yourself. Things do not satisfy, do they? The truth is only Jesus satisfies. Only a right relationship with him satisfies the deepest needs in our heart. We can't medicate away the pain. We can't supply away the pain. Because the pain is only taken away when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The question arises, is wealth wrong? And the answer is no. But the issue is a heart attitude. Are you willing to help someone the other 11 months out of the year? You know, December becomes a big time to help people. I don't know if you communicate with other people via email, but if you do, then you've noticed that you've been getting a lot of emails. Can you give here? Can you give there? Why don't they do that the other 11 months? Because they know. But are you helping people the other 11 months of the year? Are you faithful and obedient to the Lord with your finances, with your wealth? You say, oh, I'm not wealthy. Come go with me to Honduras and let me show you what poverty looks like. Your life is not and will not be considered on what you possess, because your character is more important than possessions. So define this term in your life. The second term to be defined is secularism. How do you handle tight circumstances? Secularism is a way of life pursued without any thought of God or religion. Jesus directly says, do not worry about life, what you will eat or what you will wear. Alluding to the story, Jesus points to the man's problem. The man's mistake goes back to his view of treasures, his view of things, his view of stuff. He was all about storing up treasures for himself, and he was not rich toward God. He didn't care about what God cares about. He didn't see the need of others. So do not worry about stuff, because anxiety is corrosive, is futile, and it's self-defeating, because you cannot guarantee the future. You can't. You just can't, because it's not ours to control. And so Jesus warns against being anxious about life. And so he uses the examples of birds and plants to show how that just as God takes care of them, he'll take care of you. He will certainly take care of you. And anxiety implies a low view of life. Life is more than stuff. Jesus taught man is made in the image of God, and man has a future beyond that physical existence. Ruth Bell Graham, in a book called Prodigals and Those Who Love Them, wrote, a weary Christian lay awake one night trying to hold the world together by his worrying. Then he heard the Lord gently say to him, now you go to sleep, Jim, I'll sit up. Do you ever do that? Wake up in the middle of the night, start adding up numbers. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I don't want to accuse you of lying either. And let me tell you, if you think whatever about this message that I'm not preaching to myself, you are wrong. Because I struggle with anxiety of how's this going to work out? And the Lord has had to say to me, focus on me. Don't focus on your life. Don't focus on whatever you think you own or don't own, because you don't really anyway. It's all about what Christ is doing in this world. You've heard me tell the story of the Phillips Petroleum limousine. Let me tell you another quick story. He's here this morning. When our son Jeff went off to Presbyterian College, I don't remember the exact figures, but I want to say Presbyterian at that point in time, 10 years ago, was like 20 to 25, maybe it was 15 to 20,000 per semester. If he had not gone on an ROTC scholarship, he wouldn't have been able to even go visit the campus. Well, I think it was that first semester we get this bill in the mail. It's like, what? And so I called him. I don't know how I sounded, but I just remember what the lady said. She didn't use the term full ride. She said, oh, your son is full pay. And I thought, yeah, boy. See, we worry about stuff, and the Lord takes care of us. There may be a fine line between good stewardship and worry, so when you step over it, remind yourself that Jesus is in control. When you hear the stock market nosediving, or international trade deals changing, or you get laid off from your job, how do you handle it? When you look at a retirement account statement and it's half of what it was 3 years ago, what do you do? Be a good, wise steward. Certainly. But don't wring your hands, because the Lord knows. I was reminded too, and I don't know if this is a true story or not, but in the early days of Dallas Theological Seminary, Dallas, Texas, you know what they do in Fort Worth, or used to do in Fort Worth? It was one of the biggest cattle markets in the world. Well, the story goes that in the early days of that Dallas Theological Seminary, they were about to go bust. And the president of the seminary had called maybe the whole all the professors, which may have been two or three at that time, into his office to pray. And one of them prayed, "Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why don't you sell a few of them and send us the money?" And it was about that time somebody came into the outer office to the secretary, and the man said, "I don't know why I'm here, but the Lord told me that when I got my money from selling my cattle, I was supposed to come give it to some to you." See, the Lord can do amazing things. He can take care of us. We are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So if the Lord can take care of all the rest of creation, He can take care of you. Define the terms in your life. The last term to be defined is narcissism. What are you seeking after today? Narcissism is a love of self. It's egocentrism. It's all about me. Life is all about me. You likely accomplish or acquire what you pursue. So what are you pursuing? You are to seek after the kingdom of God. You are to seek after Christ. You are to pursue His holiness. You are to pursue Him. The man with the crops had a misplaced priority. He didn't understand the Lord was generous, that the Lord was going to take care of him. The problem was, the man didn't treasure the Lord. All he could treasure was what he could see, touch, and count. I came across this statistic. In the United States in 1950, 10% of all income was spent for luxuries, some $50 billion. Luxuries are anything, not food, not clothing, not shelter. By 1980, 30% of all income went to luxuries, $350 billion. What do you suppose the percentage is today? There is no slave like the man, free to do as he pleases, because what he pleases is self-destructive. A California psychiatrist complained that 4 out of every 10 teenagers and young adults who visited his medical center have a psychological sickness he can do nothing about. According to the Los Angeles Times, it is simply this: each of them demands that his world conform to his uncontrolled desires. Society has provided him with so many escape routes that he never has to stand his ground against disappointment, postponement of pleasure, and the weight of responsibility, all forces which shape character. The psychiatrist added, "If the personality disorder persists far into adulthood, there will be a society of pleasure-driven people, hopelessly insecure and dependent." And where are we today? What is priority in your life? Don't give me the church answer. The priority in your life is what you give time and energy to. Time and energy to it. Is seeking after God's kingdom, seeking after Him, priority in your life? When something you interpret as bad happens, what do? Do you pray? Do you worship? Or do you buy things? Do you ever find yourself spending money when you're happy or when you're sad? How much have you spent on Christmas? I don't want to hear an answer on that one either. Why? Why? Listen, I hope you have a good Merry Christmas. What will make a good Merry Christmas for you? When I worked in the greenhouse, we had a guy working for us by the name of Dave. I remember the day or two before Christmas, the last day we worked together, and we were talking about, everybody was talking about what they were going to be doing for Christmas and this, that, and the other. And the 26th of December rolls around, and Dave, how was Christmas for you? He said, oh man, it was great. I got this, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this. Is that how you're going to evaluate Christmas? I've defined three terms for you that I suspect every one of us struggles with, deals with, has to deal with in some way, to some degree. How are you doing with that? Seek first the kingdom of God. Pursue Christ. Pursue a relationship with Him. Pursue knowing Him better. And you'll have a Merry Christmas.